in this season of Advent, the lectionary verses have been drawing us in to see God's overarching plan. That it's calling us to look beyond a baby, but to the next hilltop.
Right.
That from the beginning, God has this arching plan in place for us. It's interesting to think that way in this season. To maybe not get so caught up in the business, but to really think about what this meant. That when God emptied himself into a human being, it's beyond belief.
Yeah.
But that path was started long before, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. Long before. As we've been challenged to look to our need, that end that even we can see today coming, we need that. And the challenge to be ready for that end and to be proclaimers of that end. And today let's glory in that end that is coming. That is what our scriptures today kind of turn us to remember the promises that God has made. To remember that when God makes a promise, that is something. In fact, you know, if you want to have some fun, take a study Bible or something like that and just look up the word promise, promised, and promises. Even just this morning again, I took my ESV study Bible and just looked at those words. And my heart was lifted up. It's amazing. It really is. God has promised us many things. And this birth that we celebrate, this eve of Christmas,
yes,
is rooted deeply in the promises of God. And today's readings turn our attention into those promises. The promise of God's salvation for his people and then to us responding properly to those promises, to the fulfillment and the expectation of that fulfillment that we live in today. Our readings started us in 2 Samuel with David. And in that context of that, David has kind of settled down. He's been able to establish his kingdom, kind of got things in order more or less, built himself a palace, and was kind of sitting back and enjoying and thanking God for all he'd done. But as he pondered this, he thought, why? If I'm sitting in a house, why not have one for God too? He's feeling kind of bad. And his desire to make this house, the prophet Nathan breaks into the stage. Now Nathan will be very important in David's life, for good and for not so good. But the Lord came to the prophet Nathan and said some interesting words, didn't he, about this house. He said, have I ever asked for a house? Have I ever needed a house? I was with you. I brought you through the wilderness and did all these things for you, and I was with you. I was with you. I am with you. I have not needed a house. The message that Nathan gave to David was, I made you great. I called you, and I have been with you. And in fact, in your desire to make me a house, tell you what, I'm going to make you a house. That's interesting, isn't it? David already had a house, as far as he knew. What are you talking about? Well, he said, I'll give you a house, and then that verse 16 that we read at the end there, a house and a kingdom made sure forever. Now, that's good news for David, wasn't it? For any king, that's kind of what they want, right? They want to be established. They don't want their family line to depart. They would love for their children and children and children, and on and on and on. Really? Is that what happened? It didn't. But God made a promise. I will make you a house and a kingdom that will last forever. And in hardly any time at all, we saw this kingdom of David crumble. Sons betraying him. And even in later on, you know, Solomon making a great kingdom. Even then, the foundations were weakened. And eventually it all broke up. And Israel sinned. And if we read just the lament and mourning and the great call of Israel, Lord, what happened? But if you read through the Psalms, you'll see over and over again that they seek to remember and they call God on his promises. They said, Lord, you promised. When they were in Babylon, exiled, They remembered, Lord, you promised. So what is that promise then? Here we are today. There's no king on the throne in Israel. The link that we see then comes in our gospel reading today, doesn't it? Where is this kingdom of David? And in Luke, we see how, well, as we know, God's ways are not our ways. And we look in that gospel reading today, Luke 1, in verse 26, we see the link in verse 31. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and called Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house, there's that house, of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. There it is. That's the promise. And in Jesus' earthly ministry, even he went on, that the echoes of that promise were, people were remembering. Now they were thinking, like we would in our flesh, the world, a kingdom again. But that's not the house that God was planning. God's plan, his link, his ark of salvation was not this worldly kingdom at all. As we remember today, tomorrow, that link, that promise of God was fulfilled that day in a baby.
That's right.
In a mystery. It's amazing. I hope that the glorious weight of what transpired then will be heavy on your hearts. Not in a sad heaviness, but just the greatness of it.
Mm-hmm.
I've been reminded many different ways this week of the chaos that is American Christmas sometimes. Last minute runs to the store and wrapping and nervously waiting Amazon deliveries and, you know, it's just, and then food. Oh, wait, the food. We got to get the food. And what's going to be? And who's going to be here? And yet, we stand on a great promise. And that promise rings double, doesn't it? Like a gong. You hit it. It goes, bong, bong, bong. The sun is coming, bong. The sun is coming. We live in that already not yet today, don't we? That same promise that the people of Israel stood on for over 400 years, we are standing on today. Jesus is coming again. This whole Advent season, these scriptures have been pointing us to that, to remember that there is a promise yet coming for us. Unexpected, as always. So, how do we respond then? Today. Okay, right now.
No.
Christmas Eve, 2017, with roasts in the oven and children traveling and plans being made. How do we properly put in place what we are celebrating and the promise that we have today? Well, first off, I think, and our readings really, really drew us there, we can look to Mary. Mary really responded well. My prayer is that we could be like Mary. That in our seasons today, as we all want to be Marthas, getting things ready, we can be a little bit more like the two Marys, sit at Jesus' feet. But look at that great song. Well, let's start first in the gospel and what we saw Mary do there. The first thing that God told her was what? Don't be afraid. There's so much in our world to be afraid of, isn't there? We fear many things. There's many things around us that are fearful. It could be simple as the roads that are slippery outside today, to children that we fear are not following God the way they should, fears of politics and wars, and sicknesses and bills and economics and spiders. God says to Mary, do not fear.
Amen.
Our response to that baby day should be one of peace and the realization that we have nothing to fear. That with this incarnation, with this coming of God, then, and with the looking forward to the coming of God again, we have nothing to fear.
Amen.
Absolutely nothing. And then in verse 38 of Luke chapter 1, we see the humility that Mary showed. Let it be as you have said. Is that your position today, I hope? To come to God and say, yes, Lord, your will be done. In the face of our fears and anxiety, can we, like Mary, I mean, just think of the fears that she was facing. Humiliation from her community. Stoning, right? I mean, Joseph could have said, oh no, and she could have died. She said, not my will, your will be done. And then the reading that we had, Mary's song of praise. Oh, if you have time, today, just read that over again a few times with your family. It's so beautiful. It's such a marvelous response to what is happening this season. It's praise. Glory to God. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. Our response in this season should be praise. Like the angels and the shepherds and the magi, you know, they praised God for what has happened here. And remember, as Mary did, she said, he's looked on me with favor. She was testifying to what God had done in her life. Humbly, she didn't deserve it. It reminded me this week of the importance of the stories that we have of God's faithfulness in our lives. Parents, today, tomorrow, at the dinner table, tell your children God's faithfulness in your life. Either they heard it before, tell them again how God changed your heart. Those stories will have a great impact. I think of my parents and just the miracle of God touching my mother against all odds. And my father, I mean, my goodness, an alcoholic, verbally abusive man that almost literally God spoke and shined a light in his heart and saved him. And I stand here today because of that. Kids, ask your parents. You know, say, hey, tell me about that. Tell me about how you came to Christ. Praise God in the stories that we have in this Christmas season. Mary did. It's a beautiful story, beautiful song, praise to her. And then the last response we see in our reading from Romans, that doxology in Romans 16. I love so often in Paul's writings, you just get that feeling that once in a while he'd be riding along and he's so taken up in what God has just kind of told him that stuff just bursts out of him. Now to him who's able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages but now has been disclosed and through the prophetic writings. Okay, there's our link. You know, there's 2 Samuel, the house. And has been made known to all nations according to the command of the eternal God to bring about the obedience of faith. To the only wise God be glory forevermore through Jesus Christ. Amen. Our response to the birth of a baby who is to be our Savior is faith and obedience. That is what he calls us to. Come to me. And by faith, we follow him. And the question then is that your response today? Is God your treasure? Could we strip this season of all of this, the presence, and understand that we have the greatest present of all? What Romans 8 tell us, heirs of God, fellow heirs with Christ. The season of Advent draws us to this baby, but also forces us to look forward, to stand on those same promises and respond with worship and obedience today. The whole purpose of the gifts that we open up is to point us to that gift. That's why we do it. It's not because it's a 5,000-shot Nerf gun, which is awesome. It's because Jesus came. It's not because of the watch or the crock pot or the clothes or the socks. My grandmother King, when we hit our teenage years especially, would give us the great gift of socks, underwear, and deodorant. Because of Jesus is the gift. Amen. Jesus is the gift. Jesus is the gift. And we don't deserve it. We haven't earned it. That is the message of Advent today. So I pray, please, in all of it, slow down. Take some time. Tell your children the stories of faithfulness of God. Take the time around the table and the great feasting that we'll have to remember and give God the glory. I'm really, really looking forward to the service tonight. I was looking through the order of it, and it's going to be special. It really is.
And I am, as Sherry mentioned, I'm really thankful for all of you. You are family. We are family. Let's pray. Father, glory to your name. Lord, we stand on the promises, that you've made in ages past that put us on the path, the same path that Moses, Abraham, Samuel, David, the prophets, your apostles, and Paul, and leaders through the ages who have heard your call. God, please help us to hear you today. Lord, if our hearts are all hardened, forgive us, please. If we have neglected you in any way, forgive us in this season. And we thank you for that forgiveness that is given us, for we are yours. I pray your blessings, God, today on the families of this church. We pray especially those who are with us. Again, give them the comfort that comes from you. And Lord, again, glory to you. Amen.